Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. So moving right along, we started yesterday some of the halachot of tzedakah. We're in Siman Resh Mem Chet in Yorei De'ah. Saif Gimel. So this is where we left off yesterday. Whether or not we forcibly take a collateral, or do we forcibly impose tzedakah on yetomim, on orphans. So the shaila is, so in general, we do not impose anything on orphans because their estate, we're talking about when they're ketanim, so their estate, they're not really in control of their estate, they have an apotropos. So says the Shulchan Aruch, just to quickly review, yetomim en poskin alem tzedakah afilu lepidyon shvuim, afilu yesh lahem mamon harbe, which means that you cannot impose tzedakah on aniyim, even for the most severe, for the most important of tzedakot, which is pidyon shvuim, which is saving, paying for people's ransom. Elaim ken poskin alim nechvodam kedesh yetze alehem shem. Unless what? Unless we impose the tzedakah on them for their own benefit, which is that if people see that we're imposing tzedakah on them, people will say, oh wow, what a mistake. Let's start doing business with these people. Yes. The highest form of tzedakah is to take a person out of captivity, to take a fellow Jew out of captivity. Even if they're a criminal, well, if they're in jail for a crime, it's a different story. We're talking about that they were captured. If they're a public, public menace, then that's a different story. Paying their bail could be, depends on the situation, but yeah. Okay, now, it says like this. Now, we spoke about yesterday, the Ba'eretiv brings down the Shach, who says that let's say the apotropos, let's say the guardian of the Yitomim says, well, I don't think they need this benefit of showing off their estate to people. So leave off the tzedakah for now. Says the Shach that we take the guardian's word for it and we do not impose the tzedakah. Now he says like this. Says the Rama, V'davka tzedakah she'en la kitzva, o she'yesh la kitzva nechse yitomim ve'cholim le'amtin ad she'yigdilu, kigon she'yesh la'em tevel ve'enan tzichim le'echol achshav, aval im tzichim le'echol achshav, me'asrin ve'tormin lahim. Which means it's only something, only the kinds of tzedakah that are not immediate. Tzedakot that are not immediate, that they can delay and give later, those we don't impose. But the kinds of tzedakot that need to be taken off now, for instance, let's say they have untied produce. They have tevid in Eretz Yisrael. You can't say, oh, obviously nowadays, we know that tevid is a form of tzedakah, it's a form of hekdesh. No, don't take it off. What are you talking about, don't take it off? They have to eat. So over there, even though they're yitomim, we take off the trumot u'ma'asrot from their as well. Behuadin, shiyesh la kitzva, kigon shayu lahem krovim aniyim. Similarly, if there is a tzedakah that has a, let's say, set limit, which means, let's say the yitomim, let's say they have our aniyim, their relatives are aniyim, and you know, there's a set amount, these aniyim who are their relatives, they need X amount for tzedakah. This is not a recurring donation. When do we not impose tzedakah on the yetomim? When it is a recurring donation. But if it's not recurring, if it's a one-time thing and they have relatives who are aniyim, you can impose the tzedakah on the yetomim as well. V'haya lahem kitzba me'aviyim kol shana v'shana v'en lahem le'echol rak zo. Which means there's a tshuva from the Mahari Mintz that the Rama brings down over here. There are certain situations where giving tzedakah is for a person's kavod. One example is what we said before, to show off their estate. Another example is, let's say these yetomim have cousins. And the cousins had like a yearly grant from their father. And something happened and the father wasn't able to pay the grant. And now they have two options. Either we give tzedakah or we impose tzedakah on the estate of the yetomim, or the cousins will go start collecting by people's doorsteps. So over there, when the cousins start collecting, what does that say about the yetomim? It's going to be a big bushot for the yetomim. So over there, the apotropos says, you know what? The guardian, you have to understand that by yetomim, betin entrusts a lot of this thing to the guardian. The guardian gets to make a lot of financial decisions. It's not just a guy, okay, buy, sell, whatever. It's a person with chokhmah and experience in business that Beit Din says, okay, you know what? You are now appointed to take care of the financial, you know, stability of these yitomim. And the guardian says, you know what? I think that if we don't help the cousins now, it's going to be a big busha and it's going to be detrimental in the financial future of the yitomim. Says the Rama, fine. We do impose, we do take tzedakah from the estate of the yitomim. Okay? Let me just read the Bayretev for a second. It says the Bayretev is fine. Me'avihem, katav ashach, nira davka behaya lahem kitzba me'avihem. Halav ha'achi, en la'asot kitzba likroveim, din loken, le'olam itchayvu liten al yidei kitzba. Let's say this is a recurring thing. Let's say it's a family member, but it's a recurring tzedakah. Do you take it from the yitomim? Not the case that we gave that they had, let's say, a grant from their father that stopped, that ran dry. Let's say stam, they have needy cousins. You don't take from the yitomim because that is considered a recurring tzedakah. And you never impose recurring tzedakot on the estate of yitomim. And now he says, orphans. Yeah? אבל כשנותנים לקרובים שלא יתבזו, אין פוסקים עליהם בדבר שאין לו כתבה, כיוון שלא נעשה להם טובה מיד בנתינה זו, אלא שעל ידי כן מסתלקים הפגם שיגיע להם אחר כך. Okay, fine. What are you saying? Because they are קטנים, they are minors who are not really in control of their own estate. No, but there's an estate. Their father died, and they just inherited a tremendous estate. Talk about moft. Anyway, but listen to this. Yeah. So, yeah. They didn't work for it.
What if the orphan is not a minor?
If the orphan is not a minor, is he in control of the estate? Not necessarily when he turns bar mitzvah, is he in control. Beit Din will still appoint a apotropos until 20 usually.
Yeah. Every time.
Huh? What do you mean, every time? They depends, really. Beit Din will have to kind of evaluate the situation. But as long as the minor is not in control of his own estate, and Beit Din appoints that guardian, so there's no tzedakot that we can impose on them.
Is this also... Okay. Is this like a
uncle
or something? Is
it
a random person?
No, what do you mean a random person? No, it could be a family member. Well, I don't know any Uncle Steve's, but maybe Uncle Korush. So let's say you have one of those, yeah? So, huh? No kidding. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, no, but it depends. If they have a family member who's willing to step in, so Beit Din will, again, Beit Din's going to investigate to see if Uncle Steve is, you know, because he could be a loving uncle, but he could be financially, you know, completely oblivious. So that wouldn't help anybody. Beit Din's going to find the person who is the most financially fit to take care of these yitomim. That's why Beit Din has to take a person who is ne'eman, person who's trustworthy. So, next halakha. Well, he gets paid. He gets paid for his services.
By the Beit Din.
He gets paid. And sometimes they'll even take a cut from the estate. It's an investment. It's a business. You have to find somebody. It's like a manager, right? You can have a property manager, hedge fund manager. Managers get paid. What do you want? If the mom goes, so she can be the apotropos as well. Right. Says Maran. Resh memchet zayid dalet. Says the Shulchan Aruch as follows. Gabbae tzedaka en mekabelin mehanashim umeavadim umeatinokot ela davar muat. אבל לא דבר גדול, שחזקתו גזול או גנוב משל אחרים. Which means that a person who is a gabay tzedakah, a person who is a tzedakah collector, right, not like a regular collector, but a person who is entrusted with collecting the tzedakah funds. So he's not allowed to take from women, children, or slaves. What's the reason? Because he's only allowed to take a small amount. Can't take a big amount. Only a small donation from women, children, or slaves. The reason for that is very simple, because if a woman, a married woman, gives you a large donation, what can you assume? Stolen money. Or let's say you have a kid. like you go to Gabay Tzedakah comes to collect, the kid gives him $1,000 cash. Hello. What is it? Right? Obviously, you have to assume that there's something over here that's fishy. Either ganuv, gazul. Therefore, halakha dictates that when you collect from such people who are under the jurisdiction of others, nashim, avadim, uktanim. So the halakha is you can only take matana mu'aitit, only a small donation. Says Maran, how much is a small donation? Yeah. V'kama hu davar mu'at, hakol lefi osher ba'anim va'aniyutan. Which means, davar mu'at, a small donation is relative. It depends on the wealth of the family. If the family is very wealthy, so it could be that if the, you know, if the wife gives you $100, could be a small donation. If the family is not so wealthy, so $100 is considered a big donation. So it really has to do with the financial situation of the family. Now, v'hani mi lebistama, aval ima ba'al moche, afilu kolshehu, tu lekabel mehim. This only applies if you don't know, like in general, which means you come, the woman says, okay, I want to give a small donation to tzedakah mutar. But let's say you hear the husband in the background and says, no, don't give it. If the husband's moche, even for a small donation, you're not allowed to take it. You're not allowed to take it even from the woman, from the child, from the eved, yeah, matomen. So if a woman has her own business, you have to know, in Ibn Ezer, there are certain situations where even if a woman's running her own business, halachically, it could still belong to her husband, okay? We know that a husband is kone ma'ase yadeha.
Single is okay.
Huh?
Single woman
is fine. We're talking about nashim in general, that they are under their jurisdiction of their husband. Now, a married woman... Huh? What? Oh,
yeah. With the
credit card and the Range Rover.
No, with the United States. Soon we're all going to be under the jurisdiction of the
wives.
Oh.
Oh. Anyway.
Always tomorrow.
Anyway. Hello. Anyway, Bekitzur. Al ta'asa kfira. Anyway, Bekitzur. So he says like this. Listen very carefully, Rabotai. There's another thing that's very important, which is the Yohanan brought up a good point just now, which is that sometimes a woman could be making millions, right? Let's say for whatever reason, you have this lady who's she's a CEO, and who, what?
A wife.
Well, not only a Kola wife, but I'm going a little bit more extreme. She's a CEO, and he's a taxi driver, and he struck it rich. He's happy, right? She likes him for whatever. I don't know if she fell for him. She likes him. She likes the taxi driver type, whatever. And she's a CEO, and she's making tons of money, and he is not. What's the halacha? Still, according to Takanat Chachamim, it's Gemara Meforesh, Ketubot of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara says that, nevertheless, he makes Ma'aseh Yadea, unless there is a way for a woman to opt out. Since the Takanah is for her, she can opt out by saying, Eni nizonit veni osa, which means she can say, I don't want, a husband is obligated to be mezin, he's obligated to support, to feed his wife. She can say, listen, I don't need you to feed me, I don't need you to support me, I'll support myself, you don't have to feed me, you don't have to support me, I'll support myself, but whatever earnings I make, I keep. The Chachamim said that she's allowed to do that. She's well within her rights to say that. Now, if she says that, there's machloket aposkim, let's say she falls on hard times, and then the Uber business, you know, skyrockets, and her CEO position, she gets furloughed because of COVID. Now what? She's like, uh-oh. Now she feels bad that she said that I don't want your support. I'll take, you know, now she's not making anything, and he's, you know, he's nonstop in the car all day long giving rides, and it's, you know, double shifts and whatever. He's making tons of money. Not ketubah, but this is one of the tna'im, one of the conditions of the ketubah. So she allowed to change her mind. She says, I changed my mind. I want my mezonot back, and whatever I make, I'll take. Now he says, what are you talking about? Now you're not making anything. Why should I take you back? What's the halacha? Did she change her mind? It's not a nidah. This is a financial thing. He says, you just called your own destiny. That's the question. Can she change her mind every 5 minutes? What do you say? because she's just doing it for her own personal benefit. When it's worth her while, she says, go fly a kite. I'm not getting anything. I'm feeding myself. When she loses her job, she says, oh, I need you again. Sorry. Give me mezonot. Hello. מה זה שטויות האלה? מחלוקת הפוסקים between the Ra'ah and the Ran, whether, and Rabbi Yerucham, whether or not she can keep on flipping back and forth. And Ibn Ezer, Siman Samachtet, the Shulchan Aruch goes back, the Ramah brings down a machloket, whether she's allowed to change her mind. But over here, we're talking about a regular case. In general, though, until a woman says that, most women don't know the halacha that they can say that. And most women don't say it, even if they're working and even if they're making money. Halachically, their money still may belong, their earnings may still belong to their husbands, even if they have a joint bank account and everything, but their, or even if they have their own personal bank account, their money may still belong to their husbands. So according to that, you still would not be able to take more than a matana mu'etet, a small donation, in this case. Now, halachic prenups don't say that she owns her own money. Halachic prenups is only for situations of gitin, and many, I'm not getting, because it could be political also, but many times halachic prenups can be anything but halachic. So that's another thing. So that's with regards to that. Let's see the Ba'eretiv. He says like this: Lekabel mehem ukna shekansu achayav ba'ala lishalem ba'ada. Kmo shekata Rav Ibn Ezer v'ta'amad adam lechapara. Which means, let's say in halacha there sometimes that there are knasot, fines. Let's say a woman does something and she gets fined. She gets a halachic fine. Now what are you saying? You're telling me I don't have my own money and you can't take tzedakah from me and I have to pay my own fines? Says the Shach, you're right. If a woman gets fined, who pays for it? Husband. The husband says, Ya Habibi, my wife did something wrong. She got fined. Do you want me to pay the fine? Says the Shach, says the halacha, what's the din? Yes. Why? Because Josh said, yeah, all the way from the corner over there. Why? Oh, I thought you said yes. Why does the husband have to pay for the fine? Because it's like a kapara. The fine is like a kapara in atonement, and the halacha is that any atonement that the wife needs, the husband is chayav to take care of. That's the halacha with regards to that. Let's do one more halacha. Okay? Listen to this. Says Maran. Ha'ima isha iskira melamed livna. Let's say a woman hires a tutor, a Torah tutor for her husband, for the son. Happens. I know a situation. Huh? No, for the son. So you can hire the husband too. Anyway. No. So let's say, I know situations like this. The guy's at work all day. The kid needs somebody to tutor him in, you know, his Limudei Kodesh studies. The guy's at work. The husband is, let's say, in Yodei Ma'aretz. He's at work. And you know, the kid's sitting at home. He needs help with his homework, with his Gemara, with his Mishnayot. The wife hires a tutor. First of all, can she do that without the husband's permission? So, says Maran, and second of all, does the husband have to pay for it if the wife hired it? Says Maran, Im Aisha hiskira milamed libna, im yada abal v'shatik, v'day nichale b'ma she'asta. First of all, if he heard about it and he just doesn't say anything, could be. You can hear cases like the guy's at work, he heard about it and he's like, you know, he doesn't really care. The wife's taking care of everything. The halacha is he's allowed to accept payment. We don't say that the husband is against it. Aval im mochel altar ein b'maaseh aklum. But if the husband, immediately upon hearing that the wife hired a tutor for their child, if the husband protests, he says, no, I'm not okay with it, the deal is off, and the guy is retroactively fired. You can't pay him. She can't pay him from the husband's estate because he was mochen. Says the Rama, "V'afilu im noset v'notenet toch habayit yechola limchot ba." There's a level of a woman. There are different levels of what women do in the house. Some women have nothing to do with the finances of the house. Old timers, right? They don't do anything. There's some women like that. There are other women that in halacha is called noset v'notenet toch habayit, which means that they are, you know, they do some business, they are involved in the business of the house, which means she doesn't own it, but she's involved in the business. You know, she'll pay some bills, she'll sign some checks, whatever. Even so, says the Rama, if the husband protested hiring of this milamed of this tutor, the halacha is that you go by the husband, and the woman is, the wife is not allowed to pay, and the husband, the tutor is not allowed to take the job. That's the halacha with regards to that. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Let's get ready for Shabbat.